It's amazing the things that just get you started thinking about things. I was just in the car a couple of weeks ago when this song by some artist in the 80s started singing this song, What is Love? And it just got me thinking, yeah, what is love? And it just got me thinking. And the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to keep thinking about it. And it's interesting in all things, you know, we know what love is. We can read about it in the Bible, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, for example. We can see what love kind of looks like, that it's patient and kind and long-suffering, and it does not boast. It doesn't think about itself. It always forgives. It always, you know, bears and everything else that the Scriptures say. And I think we can get a fair idea about what love is. Certainly when we love something, we know that we're loving it. But I think more importantly, what we need to know is that we are loved. And because we're human, and because we get carried away in our emotions sometimes, or man, you get carried away with your logical thinking sometimes, we don't necessarily understand that we're loved. Sometimes we don't feel loved, but we need to know at the end of the day, we absolutely are loved, no matter what. It's a good thing, isn't it? And so I could come and I could look at all the scriptures about love and what the Bible says about love, but I think it comes down to, just as Yvonne shared, what does love look like to you? It looks like a cross. And so I guess the question for us is not necessarily what is love, but who is love? That's the actual question that it comes to. If you are meditating on love, somewhere along the line, it's got to come back to that God is love. And the word is very clear on the fact that if you do not have God, you don't have love. You can't really understand it. You can't really appreciate it. And even with the things in the world, I love this, I love that, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that. Well, in 6 weeks' time, you're not going to love that thing because you're going to be loving something else and you're going to be wanting something else. But praise God that His love is there for us. It is unconditional. It is faithful to the end. Will never leave us or forsake us. And the amazing thing that I love about God and about God's love, when we look at our state, when we look at how we are and who we are and the things that we do, I am just amazed. The word says that God condemns His love, commends His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were walking our merry little walk, doing our own thing, taking our drugs, having lots of sex, playing loud music, stealing, lying, doing whatever it was we wanted to do. Maybe you're just a good person, never did anything like that, but nevertheless, you're still just doing what you want to do. While we were still in that state, Christ died for us. And the word says that there's no other greater love. You cannot show love any other greater way than a man lay down his life. And so that is amazing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think it's everybody's obligation in life to think about God, to think about what Jesus did at that cross, and action it. And so when you think about what Jesus did on the cross, because of love, because of love that we can't understand, because of love that we could never match, He did that for us while we were still sinners. And so it is begged the question, what am I going to do with this Jesus? And I think everyone needs to ask the question. And so you've got a couple of choices, obviously, because God is a God of free will. You can do whatever you like. It's your choice. So am I just going to say to myself, yeah, I get it. Even history proves that Jesus was around. But you know what? It's just not my cup of tea. I'm not religious. And if there's one thing that gets me cranky is that word religious. I could just say, it's not my cup of tea. Yeah, I believe God's real, but that's about it. Or I could totally reject it. That's my choice. I could totally reject it. No, what a lot of garbage. Forget about it. I'm just going to go on my own happy way. I'm just going to walk my own path. I'll carve my own path even. Wow. There's pride. Or I could say, you know what? I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand it. I get it. And even I just remember it clearly on my mother's deathbed when I said to her, I gave her the gospel and I said, Mum, I can pray with you. I can pray for you and you can agree, because she was quite frail. She said, no way. I've got to do it myself. Boy, do I need forgiveness. Well, she's right. She did. Hallelujah. And so we can receive that. And we can receive that washing of our sin. We have got that love to be received as well, which just blows me away every time. Every time I think about how much God loves me, every time I think about the sacrifice that Christ made for me, it just brings me to tears. I just can't believe that God, in all of his glory, creator of the world, all authority, all power, all might, all strength, no limits, no holds barred, would surrender his throne, come in obedience to the Father's will, surrender himself, give up everything, not want any gain for himself, and put it all on the line for me. Wow. God, you're amazing. But we know, and as Yvonne shared in communion, how do you think God would feel if we didn't respond back, if we didn't talk to him? And love, for the fullness of love, I believe it needs to be reciprocated. And so how can I possibly love God back? How can I possibly even begin to thank him for what he's done? So I'll just talk a little bit more about that this morning, seeing Yvonne's taken part A. Yeah, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, this word is life. This word is life. Father, reveal yourself to us in this word this morning. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your love for us is sacrificial love, Father. Lord, give us more of an understanding of what it is you're trying to say to us. Father, for most of us here, we have taken that step and we have received you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, Father, that it is washed clean. And Lord, we can stand before you now righteous as if there is no sin. But Father, we want more. We want more. We know our life is a journey with you, Father, and we want everything. We want everything that you have done for us, because you did not die just to save us from our sin, but you died to mold us and to shape us. You died to bless us. You died because the days of our life are ordered by you. So, Father, we want to follow you every step of the way. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Just love it. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for us. It's exciting. And so I started having a bit of a read of Jude through the week, and in some studies that I did, it says that it correlates very much so with 2 Peter chapter 3 in more particular. So I had a little bit of a read about it and I just thought, man, I love this stuff. Why do I love it so much? And I see there's notes all in my Bible because I've shared on it and everything like that. And when you go into Jude and when you go into 2 Peter, particularly chapter 2, I think it is chapter 2, you will see that Paul is writing and really admonishing, encouraging the church to contend for their faith, to contend for what they believe in, to not put up with any nonsense, because there are many heretics that come in, and they came in back then And so, of course, they're going to come in now, and we see that now. We see wolves come into church in sheep's clothing, pretending and carrying on, but it's only just to knock off those ones that are a little bit independent or maybe a little bit weak or people that are going through storms. And so we see this in the Word that, contend for the faith. But we need to ask ourselves, what are we contending for? How can we contend for something if we do not know what we're contending for? And it's all well and good to love Jesus. But how do we know what to do? How do we know what he's even saying to us if we don't spend time with him? And then even in our prayer time, in that quiet time, in our closet time with the Lord, if we have something witnessed in our spirit that the Lord is saying to us, well, how do we know it's true? What do we measure it up against? How do we know, well, the Lord is saying this to me, but how can I be sure that this is the Lord? And sometimes it is like that. Sometimes we're very confident in knowing that this is the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we need to ask questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so here is our guide. Here is our book. Everything the Lord has spoken, everything the Lord needs us to know is in here. The Word says that everything we need pertaining to life is in this book. Every situation you may face, every bit of character changing and moulding we need is in this book. Hallelujah. And God, I have said this to so many people, and I know our Pastor Guy shares it too. It's not the gifts that define a Christian. It's the fruit that defines the Christian. And so we need to allow each other to come with chisels and sandpapers and electric grinders, whatever needs to be done to mold us, because God's about family. Hallelujah. So we need to know what the Lord is saying. And I love this. We're going to have a look at 2 Samuel very quickly, just as I found this as I was reading. 2 Samuel, we're going to have a look at chapter 22 and verse 29. And this is David talking. So this should be my response to the Lord. If I want to walk closely with him, if I want to know that what I'm hearing is right, if I want to be one that speaks the truth, well, I've got to have the truth in me first to be able to speak it. Would you agree with that? I agree with that. I've got to know the truth first. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, and I'm looking at 1 Samuel, I beg your pardon. This is David. For you, talking to the Lord, are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Down to verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to them who trust him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. Hallelujah. So he knows it. Lord, you are the lamp, and you are the one that will light my darkness. Let's go over to Psalms 119. You know, as I looked at the word lamp, it's very interesting that I only see it in the word as it pertains to the tabernacle. I see it here with David talking about the Lord being our lamp. And then I see it again in like Ezekiel, Daniel, talking about the eyes of the Lord are like a lamp. And then we see it again in Revelation. We also see it in the Gospels about the 10 virgins as well. It's all about lamps. These are the only time we see lamps in the Bible. So it's important. It's important, and it reminds me of the fact that it's about the path that we take. So let's just pick it up. Psalm 119. Let's start with verse 18. There's just a couple of scriptures I want to share first. And so my response to the Lord, after accepting all that he's done for me, my response should be this, as was David's response. Verse 18. Open you my eyes, talking to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I need to be, hell-bent's not the word I'm looking for, but that's the word I've got in my head. I need to be hell-bent on this word of God. I need to be wanting to understand it. I need to be saying, Lord, teach me your ways. I need to understand his laws, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments. Yes, we are new covenant believers, but Christ came to fulfill the law, and we're going to see how he fulfilled that in this psalm a little bit later on. Doesn't do away with the law, he fulfills it. So Lord, open our eyes this morning that we may behold the wondrous things in your law. Hallelujah. Over to verse 73. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Not give me understanding and let me be blessed. Give me understanding that I may learn, that I may understand your commandments, Lord. This is what he's saying. Let's back up a little bit, verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. That's pretty fat. But I delight in your law. So it doesn't matter what goes on around me. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter who comes against me. I want to keep your precepts with my whole heart. I want to delight in your law. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Let's face it, it's only through trials that we really do dig into the word and understand what it is God's saying. So praise God for trials and tribulations and afflictions, because it causes us to learn what the Lord is saying to us. Verse 72, the law of your mouth, listen to this, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So you can have all the money and all the riches in the world if you like, but the law of God, the law of your mouth is better unto me than all of that sort of stuff. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? This is how he felt in his heart. Nothing else came close. Verse 92. Unless your law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. And so, as I said before, we can go on carving our own path and doing our thing, but at some point in our Christian life, there's another choice to be made. Am I going to go on for the Lord, or am I going to keep doing my own way in my own Christian walk? Because it's not your Christian walk, it's the Lord's Christian walk in your life, isn't it? And so there's a total revelation here that unless I had developed a love for the law, I would have perished in my own afflictions. Pretty amazing. Except by the grace of God, there I go also. We hear that in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Let's have a look at verse 97. This is what I really want to get into. 97 down to 102. Here it is. And this just blew my mind when I read it. Oh, how I love your law. When I read it, when I see that, I don't just think of Ten Commandments on a tablet. Oh, how I love your law. I love everything about you, Lord. I love your righteousness. I love your holiness. I love your godliness. I want to aspire to that. Everything that you are, wherever you are, that's who I want to be and that's where I want to be. I love your law. I want to understand this. I want to have all wisdom, and I know it can only come through the word. There is nothing in my life that cannot be handled without this. Nothing, nothing. There is nothing. This is my life. This is what I want to eat. This is what I want to breathe. This is what I want to walk out in my life. Oh, how I love your law. Wow. He says, it is my meditation all the day. Just want to think about the Lord as I'm driving. I want to praise the Lord. I want to sing in tongues. I want to edify myself. I want to be that shining light for other people. I want to be ready. Here I am. I'm walking into this situation, Lord. I want to be ready. What do you want to say? And I don't even have to premeditate what I'm going to say, because if I'm ready, if I love the law, if I'm meditating on it, if I love everything about God, when I'm there, bang, there it is. It comes out. You don't even know what you've said. Job done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's that simple. Oh, how I love your law. I want every piece of it. Every piece of it. And it's good to know it, but we need to know it. It's good to be able to quote scripture. Excellent. I love it. I remember when I was a young Christian coming into being a youth leader, we'd say, a few of us and a couple of the youth, oh man, it'd be so cool to just preach a whole message and it's just all scripture. We don't need notes. We just know it all. And they're like, yeah, yeah, how cool, how cool. And so we played around and put a couple of two-minute messages together just on scripture. It was exciting, but to know it, to live it, to breathe it, whole nother ball game. It is just life. It gives you life. It keeps you going. And yes, there are highs, but it keeps you level-headed through the lows as well. Amen? That's what it does. Let's keep going. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Just bear with me while I read through these. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And I may be just getting older and grumpy, but I'm starting to hate every false way. And you know, I said to you before that Christ fulfilled the law. Let's look at these scriptures again. I stumble. But when we look at these scriptures again in the light of Jesus saying it, we know that he has fulfilled the law. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. He had enemies with him wherever he went. But gee, he came out with gold. Always spoke gold. Oh, I love it. I love it. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And he did, even at the age of 12 in the temple, we read he was blowing everyone away. Wow, who's this kid? How did he know this? What's going on? I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Obviously talking about the patriarchs there. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Now, no one else has done that except Jesus. Totally sinless. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. Absolutely, Jesus there. He did not move. He did not go a mill outside the Father's will. And he spoke the Father's words. It's very, very exciting. Let's go down to 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know, over the last, I stopped and I just thought about that, and I thought about it and I thought about it. And I realized when I pray, I say, God, be the lamp to their feet and the light to their path. And yeah, that's right, but I've realized that's not exactly what the scripture is saying. It's saying your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, we know Jesus is the word, but your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why do I need a lamp on my feet? I started thinking. Maybe just to check that they're clean. Maybe it's to check when I walk, I'm walking with the gospel of peace. Maybe it's there to just check that I'm still breathing, I'm here, I'm moving. And why do I need a light to my path? And we've always said, and I've always believed, we don't need to know the very end. We don't need to know 2 years up ahead, and I still agree with that. But we need the light to our path so we can move around all those stumbling blocks. Christ says up here, sorry, the psalm says up here about keeping your feet from every evil way so that I can keep your word. So there's a lamp on our feet so we can see where we are, maybe check our status. And the light is on our path so we can move around those things that would cause us to stumble. Remember Jabez's prayer. And we know that sin lies at the door. Hallelujah. It's just so exciting. We need to see where we're going. We need to see the plans of the enemy coming up against us so that we can walk around it and just go, yeah, okay, tried, you lose, you've lost. That's not going to touch me. You can't touch me with this one. I'm doing all okay. Let's just have a look quickly at Proverbs 6:23. Just a few pages over. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the commandment is a lamp. What the Lord is telling us to do is that lamp to our feet. Go here, go there, do this, do that. I remember in recent weeks, something happened. I won't go into the backstory. I know women love backstories, but I won't go into it. Only to say this person said, Sharon, you're amazing. I said, no. I'm just God's little minion doing whatever he bids me to do. It's no problems. So the commandment is a lamp, and it's a lamp to our feet to tell us where to go. And the law is light to make sure we get around those stumbling blocks. No, remember I've said, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. Remember what the word says about how to behave in this situation. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. When I read that proverb, I thought, wow, the commandment is the lamp and the law is the light to keep us going, to make sure we're stepping in the right direction. And so we're getting around all those things that the enemy would try and put in front of us. It's just absolutely wonderful, and I praise God for that. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light.